Richard Bellman, in about the year 1960, wrote a paper, which was a very bad paper, which had an excellent title, which was, I think, On the Foundations of a Stochastic Variational Calculus. So that's a fine title, which deserves the subject to go with it. And in this paper, he is deriving the dynamic programming equation, starting in discrete time, in a simple case where he has a deterministic control problem, and he is simply adding a noise, which is simply always plus or minus one with equal probability. And then he lets the time interval shrink to zero and obtain in the limit a partial differential equation for the dynamic programming equation. Unfortunately, he obtained a first order partial differential equation in his scaling instead of the second order equation, which is the correct one. And I read this, and it seemed to me that there is a kind of a fundamental error. Actually, I corresponded with Bellman on this subject, but it seemed that he never... His answer always, more or less, if you ask him such a question, but of course now I'm doing something so-and-so. He never responded directly. But it was just at that point that I thought I would try to look into it. And of course other people were doing things about the same time. It was the so-called separation principle and so on. I didn't know that till later. So I started trying to figure things out, and I remember going around to somebody, probably Murray Rosenblatt at Brown, what is a Brownian motion, right? What is white noise? And starting from knowing nothing, trying to learn.
When was it?
This was just in 1960 or 61.
Then Wendell was telling me all the time, I was asking him questions, said, well, stochastic differential equations. And, well, it seemed to me like it was all ordinary, but he always used to write DW. And I asked him what it was, and he couldn't get an answer, so I decided to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
But you gave me the references.
Subject. Yeah. I was a little bit acquainted with some of the early papers Dubin and so on, and I realized that probabilists were attempting to obtain results in analysis by probabilistic methods, and I was never quite sure in the early stages whether that was a kind of faith they had that someday that this would really be successful and good theorems and analysis would be proved. And I remember I began to realize, as you say, it was the possibility of dealing with degenerate equations that really was impressive to me as the real power of probabilistic methods.
The only reason I bought the book because I was convinced that they are very useful tools to solve problems outside probability.
As well as probability, but outside, and that's why this was my motivation in PDE and in stochastic things. And
always the method of characteristics.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes, that's extended. And of course, you having trajectories, you have powerful.
You have a microscopic picture, you have a microscope,
Yes.
So why not always, sometimes you cannot see the forest from the wood, the forest from the trees, the wood from the trees, but you cannot get a priori estimates with stochastic differential equations, but you can get a maximum principle in some degenerate situations, and there are many things that you can get. So it's very important, and also it's very important for motivation. To motivate problems and to suggest
yes, but this part of course existed very long ago.
Yes.
This famous Friedrich's current Levy paper on random walk and the relation of random walk to Dirichlet problem and so on. This was and Petrovsky and so on. This was period of 20s even.
Yeah.
But at that time only, of course, there exist many possibilities to have some intuitive stimulating, not only from probability, from physics, from mechanics, and so on. But only probability gives you not only intuitive suggestions, but also possibility to really mathematical tools. Mm-hmm. And we also realized that it is very useful transformations of Markov processes as a tool for analytical tool for studying analytical problems. For example, this Cameron-Martin formula, which was extended by Gersanov, which permitted you to transform diffusion with a drift to diffusion without a drift, for example. You cannot do it, I believe, in a purely analytical way, to exclude a drift in many dimensions.
Well,
in two, but not in n. And in n, it is possible because two measures are absolutely continuous, one with respect to another.
Yeah.
And even with degeneration and so on.
Yes.
And this random time change. But of course, stochastic differential equations may be the most powerful part of stochastic analysis.
But also, you know, it suggests new problems in analysis. You take you formulate a probabilistic problem, then you want to solve it, like stopping time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you are getting into free very
boundary.
Nice. Sure.
But free boundary problems existed before, of course.
Yes. Or that. Besides, there are lots of free boundary problems. I mean, all over the world. I mean. In hydrodynamics, in electromagnetism, in water waves, but those that come from stopping times, the variational inequalities, have more accessible. And
well, what's the story about how the theory of variational inequalities got started?
Independently of stochastic. Yeah. This was Lyon, I mean Tikera, and then Lyon's Stokakia.
What did say? What did Tikera have to do with it?
There is a problem in elasticity about problem in elasticity where
you were well variational inequality?
No. Where he has two papers in fact in the handbook of physics something. You have on the boundary you require, it's called the problem of Signorini. On the boundary you require, instead of you give directly data, you say u is greater or equal to zero, the normal derivative is greater or equal to zero, and the product is zero. Except the Signorini problem is a similar thing with a system of three equations. And that's what Fikera proved, that it has a solution. But no one paid any attention to this until Simonsson and Lyons, Tampaksha and Lyons. Took a collection of such problems and put in a theory